Last week we had quite an adventure in here, didn't we? And I had a great time with all of you, and especially you children. And how many of you children remember what we talked about last week? Anybody want to tell me? Ben? Blood over the doorposts. All right. Ethan? Killing a sheep. Okay, we need to get some more in here, because if this is all we're going to talk about, it surely sounds like a pretty morbid service, huh? But your guys are doing great. All right, putting blood in the doorposts, killing a sheep.
The people that didn't have the blood on the doorposts, one of the children would die.
Yeah, so there's a death if you don't have blood on your doorposts. So why did they kill a sheep? Why did they put the blood on the doorposts? Why, Noah? Because God said so. And God said so. What would happen if they did put blood on there? Because something was happening. They would be safe, yes. And so this has come to be called Passover, right? Because the Lord passed over those homes. When you read the text there, the Lord passes over the home when he sees the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. So when he sees the blood, it says, he passed over, and the text says, did not permit the destroying angel access into that home. So it's an incredible accounting of faith in God and the salvation that's found through believing God and his word. Children, thank you for your involvement. Lucas, thank you for Puppy and letting us use Puppy last week. That was very kind of you. His mom said that he trusted me. That meant a lot to me, that he trusted me with Puppy. Especially the content of the teaching. I had to figure that one out on the fly. All right, so yes, we are in Exodus, and we have been talking about the 10th plague. We're in Exodus chapters 11 through 13. There are several different things that are talked about, but they are all encompassing this 10th plague. So the 10th plague is specifically delineated or laid out or explained by Moses in the beginning of chapter 11 and also in chapter 12, in the midpoint of chapter 12. We also see in these chapters, Exodus 11 through 13, the deliverance by faith, the Passover. We also see the establishment of a memorial. We see the departure from Egypt, and we see the dedication of the firstborn. Now, you might say, that's a mouthful. There is a lot in these chapters. I know there are. There is. I know it. I mean, you have this plague, the final plague that's going to release God's people, and they're going to be able to go in freedom. But God, what he's doing in this, in explaining all of these things, is he's providing and establishing for God's people a reference point. A reference point for which they can refer back and remember what God did in Egypt. Just imagine, if you will, if God sent 9 plagues upon Egypt, and then the 10th plague, he failed, and they never went out. Imagine the gravity of such an accounting. But we know that's not our God. He will not fail. He does not fail. But instead, he brings these 9 plagues to evidence over and over that he is superior over all the gods, the false gods of Egypt. And it magnifies over and over his power and his dedication, get this, to keeping his promise to his people. As we are students of the Bible, it is important for us to remember that the Bible is an ongoing story, if you will. And these passages are just building upon what God has already established. And we know that God established a covenant with his servant Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. God established a promise to him that he would provide through him a land and a seed, and through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. We come to this passage and the 10th plague, and when we read about this, it is clear that God intentionally does it this way to leave a mark forever upon his people. And so therefore, the Passover still remains a mark, a reminder, a memorial for people to this very day. The Jewish people today celebrate what they call the Passover Seder. It was something that was established, from best I can tell, after the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, as an ability where they sought to continue to remember the Passover and what took place. It is a bit different than what we read about here in this text as far as the details are concerned, but it is still designed to call back into our minds what God did back these many years ago in delivering his people from Egypt. Now, as we think through the Passover, I'd like us to think about several things that the Passover highlights. First of all, I believe it's important for us that the Passover highlights the value of faith. The value of faith. As we contemplate the story, the events, that's kind of what we focused on last week. We focused on the events. You go, you get a lamb. The lamb had to be a firstborn male, without blemish. You get the lamb, you keep it for 4 days in your home, and then you kill the lamb. And you take the blood and you put it on your doorpost and on your lintel. And then you eat the lamb in your home with your clothes on, shoes on, ready to go, anticipating God's deliverance. But we don't want to just be people that just focus on, well, that's a nice story, that's a nice event. But what value, what does this highlight for us? Well, first, it does tell us, highlight for us, the value of faith. The value that God puts upon faith. And what we see God doing is God gives his revelation, God gives his instruction through his servant Moses. He tells the people, he tells Pharaoh. And so I believe all of Egypt, in some senses, had heard about this instruction. He communicates it. And then it is up to the people, what are they going to do with what's been communicated? What are you going to do with the revelation that God has given through his servant Moses? Now, what we find is that those who had faith in God and his word, those who truly believed, what did they do? They went and got a lamb. They went and got a lamb and they kept it for 4 days. They killed the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. They ate the lamb in their home. They had all their clothes on and shoes on, ready to go. This is a demonstration of faith. Now, we see demonstrations of faith highlighted throughout the scriptures. Why? Because this is the reality of what it means to have a relationship with God. Why is it that idolatry is so prevalent in our world? It's because people are not content in having faith. They've got to have something tangible on which they can see and touch. They want to be in control. But listen, our God, we cannot control. He is bigger than us. He is greater than us. And therefore, his call upon us, he's revealed himself to us, and we have the option to choose to obey to believe or not to believe. As you contemplate the events of the Passover, one of the things that I found interesting was how God delineated the difference. He showed the difference between those who were of Israel and those who were of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 11, we read in verse 6, and this is in the midst of Moses communicating what God is going to do to Pharaoh. Verse 6 says, "And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And Moses went out from Pharaoh in a great anger." It is clear, when according to verse 7, that the Lord would put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What is that difference going to be? Well, the difference is that in the homes of the Egyptians, which in many ways, I believe, are characterizing those who knew the revelation, heard the revelation, and did not believe God. And so therefore, this night, as at midnight, when the Lord came through and the angel of destruction came through, there was great crying in the home of the Egyptians. But not so in the homes of Israel, because they had chosen to believe God. They had chosen to have faith in the Lord. The text tells us that it is very clear that the deciding factor as to whether a child, the oldest child was killed or not, was based solely on the blood on the door. The blood on the doorposts and the lintel. That's what the Lord was looking for. How did it get there? How did the blood get there? It didn't just appear. God had given his instructions. God had said, this is how it was to be, and this is the animal is to be from, and this is what that animal is to be like. I mean, listen, I love how God gets us involved and it's just not in the practice, but you know, can you imagine having this lamb in your home? Your whole family's involved. I mean, your kids are going to be cuddling the lamb. You, as the dad, know in 4 days the lamb is going to have to be slaughtered, and you hesitate to name the lamb, right? Any farmer's been there, you didn't want to name your cattle, right? Or whatever, because you knew it would be slaughtered. But this is all involves your family. And so the day comes when you have to kill the lamb. This is messy. It's not some clean thing. This is messy. And then you'd have to take the hyssop and dip it in the blood, and you go and you put it on the doorpost and the lintel, and the questions come, Daddy, why are we doing that? Daddy, what's the blood going to do? Why do we have to kill the lamb? Question, teaching, opportunity, right? But this is done because God said so, and we're going to trust and believe God. And so therefore, the Passover highlights the value of faith in the eyes of God. God was looking for those who believed. And their faith is evidenced by the blood on their doorposts. The Passover, it highlights the value of faith. Not only does the Passover highlight the value of faith, but the Passover highlights the value of sacrifice. sacrifice. We use it, almost said, as a term of martyrdom in our day. I sacrificed my time to be with you. You ever hear that? Right? And your reaction is, oh, thank you so much, right? Thank you for doing that. But you know, sacrifice is something we kind of loathe. Like, woe is me if I have to sacrifice something. Why is sacrifice such a heavy thing? Sacrifice is such a heavy thing because it involves everything about us and a giving up of ourselves or of that which is of value to us for the benefit of someone else. It's a giving away. It's a giving up. The value of sacrifice. Now, this is something that you can trace throughout the Bible. We know that we see the first sacrifice God himself did in the garden where he killed an animal so that Adam and Eve could be clothed after they sinned in the garden. Remember, they were naked and ashamed and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But you know, that wouldn't work too long. And so God slaughtered an animal and killed the animal and clothed them with the skins of an animal. We know that Abel and Cain and Abel were coming to worship the Lord, and so a sacrifice was brought, and Abel's sacrifice was honored by the Lord, respected by the Lord, and Cain's was not. Abel's sacrifice was a what? A blood sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22. In fact, let's just go there because this is a significant point on this subject of sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac. I say those two names and immediately it comes to your mind, doesn't it? Mount Moriah. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, verse 2, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you lovest, and get you into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell you of. What? I mean, we listen to that and we're saying, God, what are you doing? This is the promised one. This is the one you gave. And now he's saying to Abraham, go and offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham, verse 3, rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and they clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Notice who's coming back. He had faith they were both going to return. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac, verse 7, spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? How would you like to be Abraham in that instance? And Abraham said, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know, the Passover highlights the value of sacrifice. And it's not just the value of sacrifice, but we're going to bring another word into this, the value of a substitutionary sacrifice. In other words, a something that is sacrificed in the place of something else, someone else. Abraham brought Isaac up to this mountain and had faith and belief in God because God said that he would raise up a people and bless through Isaac his son. And so Abraham knew that either God was going to deliver Isaac through a substitutionary sacrifice, another lamb, or God would raise him from the dead, and Hebrews tells us that. And so here we are up there on the mountain, and God, what's he do? God lets Abraham go all the way to the point of raising the knife in the air, ready to slay his son, and God stops him and says, Abraham, Abraham. And you know what God does? God provides a ram. God provides a ram, and so they sacrifice the ram, and they both return back to their home. Well, in the Passover, what we have come to see and realize is that God said in the 10th plague, the firstborn male of every home would die. Well, but God gave an allowance here. God said, listen, you take a lamb, and that lamb is going to be the substitute. And I will honor your faith. And so, therefore, every home that took the lamb and slaughtered the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, their home was spared. And their firstborn male was spared. Why? Because the lamb had been sacrificed in his place. A substitutionary sacrifice. And so what God is doing for his people of Israel, the Hebrews here, is he's bringing it to the forefront and illustrating by this 10th plague and the Passover the value of faith. Believe me in my word, he says. The value of sacrifice. Notice, the lamb was sacrificed in your place. The homes that obeyed God, the homes that did what God said, they believed God, and faith without works is dead. So they followed through. Their faith was evidenced by the blood on the door. They didn't have the crying. They were spared. The lamb was chosen, killed, and consumed all that Passover evening, while the angel of destruction was going around, and wherever the blood was not seen, someone died. This is a powerful moment, and I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in those homes. I mean, talk about faith, right? You begin to, you're in your home, and you see it in the movies. They depict the angel of destruction as this dark cloud that moves across. That's movies. It's very likely that as a spirit, they weren't even seen. But you know what? It would have been heard. The text tells us cries could be heard from the homes of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh. And you can imagine, I put myself in the father's shoes, and I heard what Moses said. I believed God's word, and so I did what Moses said. What's going to happen? Children, come close. We heard what God said. We believe what God said. We did what God said. Now let's watch God do what he said he will do. And all that night, you're safe. Can you think about the impact that would leave, the mark that would leave on you and on your children? Oh boy, the value of faith, the value of sacrifice. How about the value of remembering? The value of remembering. In these chapters, Exodus 11 through 13, one of the things that comes out of it is an establishment of a memorial. This plague is not just a plague that happens, but it is a plague that even before it happens, God institutes a memorial. In other words, what he says is, I want you to remember what I'm about to do isn't it interesting that he says all of this prior to it actually happening, which implies what? It's going to happen. If you look at your Bibles, Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 14. We read, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, and that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. And 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall you eat unleavened bread." Well, we read that, and it's important for us to realize that Moses has already declared to Pharaoh what's going to happen, what God is going to do. But the actual event has not yet happened, until verse 29 of Exodus chapter 12. So God, through Moses, is establishing with his people, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want you to do as my people. And I want you to do this with this in mind, that it's going to happen, yes, this way, this time, your firstborn are going to be saved, but this is going to be an ongoing feast from here on out. This very day, the 14th day of the first month, we are going to celebrate, we're going to remember what God did and how he brought you out of Egypt. We're going to celebrate this. Now, as we contemplate it, we think about God establishing this memorial. It was already mentioned, but I want to mention it again. It is significant that God establishes the memorial prior to the event taking place. Just think about how you hear this and you're saying, this is going to be an ongoing thing. That means I'm going to still be around. I'm going to still be able to celebrate this. God's going to do this. A memorial reminds us that God does what he said he will do. And so this feast was established, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's celebrated on the very same day every year. It was a time when the Israelites were to come back to Jerusalem once they're back in the, but once they are established in Israel. But I think it's important for us to make a connection here with Jesus and what happened with Jesus Christ. It is by no accident that Jesus Christ went to the cross at Passover. And so as we contemplate and think the value of memorial, what God is doing is saying, listen, you're remembering what I did. But this memorial is continuing to point forward to Jesus. And then following after Jesus, there's a new memorial feast. A new memorial feast that he's established that very night he was betrayed. And last week we had the privilege of celebrating that. It's the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And so God has established that feast, that time of remembrance, so that we might remember Jesus. Which, by the way, Jesus is known as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, he is known as the Lamb who was slain. And so this reputation and this identity remains with Jesus Christ, I believe, forever. Highlighting the value of a memorial, yes, but also highlighting the value of his substitutionary sacrifice upon the cross, where he, the perfect Lamb of God, gave himself so that you and I might have eternal life. Our sins might be forgiven through his blood. God established many memorials with his people down through the years. But it is notable, at this point, God delivers his people, but just prior to it, he says, listen, we're going to celebrate this every year. And then the events take place exactly the way God said they would. This Passover also highlights the value of holiness. We know and recognize there's one true God. But in Egypt, that wasn't taught. The Egyptians lived in a pagan society where there were many gods, and they changed both in rank and power, name and identity. But God established from the very beginning himself as the one true God. That's holiness. See, holiness, there's a uniqueness. There's a set-apartness. There's no one like him. And the very way that God goes about delivering his people from Israel, he is separating himself time and time again through each plague, raising himself and exalting himself higher and higher over the gods of Egypt. Evidence that I am holy and there is none like me. And then when God issues instructions and commands for his people, his expectation is obey. Do what I have told you to do. This emphasizes the very holiness of God. Listen, what if a family heard what Moses had said, the Lord had said, but instead they did things a little bit different. They did things their way. If they put the blood on their windows instead of the door. If they got a lamb and it wasn't a lamb that was free of blemish, but one that they could easily dispose of and it'd be all right. Listen, don't you think God would know? You see, there was an absolute urgency and necessity to honor the holiness of God by our obedience to God and his word. And so the people of Israel, they believed God. And in their belief, they are expressing an acknowledgement of the holiness of God. You know, as you live and walk in your days, you know God has called you unto himself, and you have chosen to believe. What have you believed? You believed his revelation, his word, what he has said. You have chosen to believe. And in your belief, what you are saying is, I am acknowledging that I am believing the Lord God. I'm acknowledging that you are holy. There is no other right way. There's only one way. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. Jesus taught there's a narrow road and a broad road. The broad road leads to destruction, and many there be that go that way. But the narrow road leads to life. And few there be that find it. See, the Passover highlights the holiness of God. He is unique from all other supposed gods. There is none like him, and the people of Israel will constantly be called to embrace his holiness. And you will see them do so through their faith, and out of their faith, obedience to what the Lord says. As we have studied and looked at the Passover, it is a very fascinating account. It's a fascinating event. But if that is all it is, a fascination, then you've lost the importance of it. In our efforts today, and what I believe the Lord wants us to draw out of this is that God has purpose. He does these things with a reason in mind. What is it that God is seeking to teach us? How valuable faith is. Are you believing God? This ultimately, of course, begins with salvation in Jesus Christ. You've sat here in this church and you've heard the message of the gospel. You've heard that there is no other way unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. There is no other way of forgiveness of sins but through the shed blood of Jesus. But will you believe? Have you believed? God is drawing your heart to come and trust in Him. Because the Bible says if you do not believe, you are condemned to eternal separation from Him. As you contemplate the value of faith in your life, consider the value of sacrifice, the value of the Lord's sacrifice for you. And of course, we know that the Apostle Paul then takes that and helps emphasize for us as believers the value of sacrifice and of giving of our own selves. What comes to mind is Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What makes sacrifice so important? Because we have seen God show that sacrifice is valuable. Jesus Christ gave of himself sacrifice. The sacrificial system that was established later in the book of Exodus demonstrated the value of sacrifice. The Passover lamb was sacrificed. The value of remembering. And even as we think of the value of remembering, we think about who was saved. It was the firstborn, every male firstborn. And we heard it read in Exodus chapter 13 earlier in our service that every firstborn male after this was to be what? Dedicated unto the Lord. Every firstborn male. And so every time a woman would have her first baby and first male child, that child was dedicated unto the Lord. The child himself was not sacrificed, but he was redeemed. An animal would die in his place. Every firstborn male animal sacrificed unto the Lord, a donkey could be redeemed for another animal, by another animal. But the firstborn was to belong to the Lord. You see, God's connecting all of these things together because what happened? The firstborn male was saved on that day of Passover. And so God is forever leaving the mark that Passover sacrifice is valued. And I want you to remember, firstborn male, you belong to me, God says. You are dedicated unto the Lord. I encourage you to make much of memorials in your life. When you hear or you see that we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper, have the attitude of what is it that I am to be remembering? And then meditate on that and enjoy what God has taught you and the blessings that have come from what He has done in your life. The value of holiness. This is so key, for it marks our lives and helps us realize why we're obeying God. Why do we do things His way? Because He's holy and He is right. Always good. There is none like Him. So the son says to his father, why are we doing this, Daddy? It's because the Lord delivered us from Egypt, out of bondage. God said to do this, and so we did, and we were spared. Church, God keeps His word. And when we think of the Passover, think about these things, and perhaps you see other things that God wants us to value. Great, embrace that. And allow these things to be valued in your life. Lord, thank you for the blessing of your word. Thank you for the Passover and the things that we can learn from it. Thank you for giving of your son that we might have life. And Lord, as we gather together today as the body of Christ, you are our head. Lord, we are publicly acknowledging that Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. There is none other who can save us. There is none other who is our Lord and Master. We place ourselves willingly under your care and under your direction. We realize that you have given yourself for us, a demonstration of God's love and grace. This is what we believe. And God, we hold to this, believing that you keep your word. And so encourage your church today with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.